I don't want to be so weighted down by the cares and the worries of this world that I don't make it. Amen. I want to have the focus of the kingdom. I want to have the promise of the one who holds those things in his hand. You know, America's going through some real changes right now. Hold this, write it on your mirror, tattoo it on your forehead backwards, so when you see it in the mirror, it reads right. Okay? It is well with my soul.
Amen.
It is well with my soul. Why? Because God is in control.
Amen.
Amen. God's in control. This is not shocking him. This is not confusing him. God is absolutely 100% in control.
Amen.
And he gave you, the church, some promises. He gave you a sure foundation. And he wants us to be pressing on to the higher land, to the higher call, not being bound up or consumed in this world at all. Man, I'm a rapper today. Yes, maybe not. What's that? Oh, Lord, forgive me for this. Roses are red, bonds are blue. Most poems rhyme, but this one don't. Anyhow. I love you. That's my one joke for the day.
Praise God.
And you still ain't been funny yet. And so, God knew these things were happening. He knew these things were happening before Christ in Jeremiah's day. And Jeremiah wrote a letter to those who were going into bondage. America's about ready to go into communist, socialist bondage. It is well with my soul. All right? It's well with my soul. We need to know the truth of the things that are going to happen, and we need to hold on to the truth that God says. All right? Because the things that are going to happen because of some things. We'll look at the things that are that God allowed this to come upon America, why he allowed it to come upon America. He's also giving us a promise that as we go through this, our faith is going to grow.
Amen.
Our understanding is going to grow.
Yes.
Our love is going to grow. Yes. The church is going to grow through this thing.
Amen.
Amen. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and just ask a blessing in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for the goodness and the grace that you've given us. Father, we thank you for your word where we can put all of our hope, all of your promises, all of our understanding of what is happening, not in Facebook, but in the book. Lord God, we thank you for that. Strengthen the church. Allow us to hear what the Spirit has to say to us this day. Lord, and we thank you and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. When I was preparing or going over the sermon this morning, the Lord laid on my heart Romans chapter 8. We'll be in Jeremiah 25, 28, and 29 today for the sermon. But this is something the Lord laid on my heart. What shall we say? Verse 31 of Romans chapter 8. What shall we then say to these things? For God be for us, who can be against us? Amen? Hold on to that. If God be for you, who's going to be against you? Doesn't matter. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that rose again, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Amen. So say amen to that. Who's making intercession for you?
Yeah.
Jesus. Right? He loves you. Right? And he's at the right hand of the Father. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecutions or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? What's going to take you away from God's love?
Nothing
that's coming on this nation.
No.
All right? The pestilence, this virus, ain't taking you away from God's love. The tribulation that we're about ready to face is not going to take the love of God away from you.
Yeah.
All right? The unrighteousness of man is not going to take. Famine is not going to take it. If you run out of clothes, God forbid.
She makes them.
Amen. Ask Stephanie. She makes them.
Yeah.
And, so anyhow, nakedness or peril or the sword, nothing is going to take you out of God's love. He loves you.
Amen.
All right? He loves you.
Amen.
He knows the plans. We'll get into this in a minute. He knows the plans that he has for you. He loves you, but you're about ready to go into bondage. You're about ready to go into some hard times, but God loves you.
Amen.
All right, can you get you say that, but God loves me. But God loves me. All right? Does not matter. Nothing's going to take you out of that. And verse 36 says, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. All right? All right, for whose sake? His sake.
Amen.
For God's sake, I will be killed all day long. Woo! Man, praise God. That doesn't sound like shouting room, but there's plenty of room for shouting on that mountaintop right there. For we all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. You're a Christian. Expect it. It's not going to be easy. But God. Amen. But God, He knows it. He has you. He is absolutely in control. He loves you. He's not. This is not for our bad. This is for our good. All
right?
But it's not going to be comfortable. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be God.
Amen.
Amen. Nay, all these things, yes, we are more than conquerors. Amen. So what can they do? The Bible says, I'm more than a conqueror. I have already won this fight.
Amen.
How about you? Are you on the victory side? Are you already victorious in Christ Jesus? You are more than a conqueror through Christ, through Him that loved us.
Amen.
Amen. So it doesn't matter if commies are running the White House. It don't matter if the socialists are running your neighborhood. It does not matter. God loves you. It's okay. You can still worship Him. You can still be His child. You can still honor Him with your life. You can still walk with your head held high, your chest put out, because you are a child of the Most High God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate you from the love of God.
That's right.
God loves you. Are you? These are good words. These are good words. God loves you, and it is okay.
Yeah.
It is well with my soul. It is okay. It's well with my soul because God is in control.
That's right.
Now, in Jeremiah's time, Israel was about ready to be sent into bondage for 70 years. Now, when we think of bondage, don't think of what you think now. Nebuchadnezzar was coming into the land because God said he was. Because the Hebrew nation had sinned. Now, there were good, godly men in amongst that. There was those who were really loving God, respecting God, following, trusting God. All right? But because the nation sinned, all right, there's a church that loves God, that's called for God, that's separated by God. But because of the nation's sin, God allowed something to happen. Now, when Nebuchadnezzar came into a land, it was not, party, hardy time. It was difficult. Men were going to be drugged out with hooks in their jaws. There were those who didn't want to go into bondage that said, I'm going to stand and fight. They fought and they died. The ones who resisted a little bit, I'm not going to go. You know what Nebuchadnezzar did? He took a hook. Kind of like what you gather. Who here's loaded hay? Right? You know those hooks? He took a hook like unto that, and he would stick it underneath the bottom of your jaw, come out where your teeth are, and it would lock, and you would be drugged into bondage that way. You were drugged with hooks in your jaws into bondage. Did God know what was going on? Did he mean that for evil? Did he mean that for good? He meant it for good.
Amen.
He meant it for good. Now, there were people in that time that said this wasn't going to happen. Right? There are people in our time right now that said, oh, Trump's going to be your president. Don't worry about it. Trump is the God of the world. He's going to save us all. Those were false prophets and liars.
Amen.
All right? They were lying. They were false. How do we know? Biden's your president. Harris, I know, I don't like it. I'm with you. I don't like it. But God. See, I am not concerned about this world. I'm not concerned about this time. I'm not concerned about the Constitution. I'm not concerned about the Bill of Rights. I'm concerned about the Word of God and the Kingdom of God.
Amen.
Okay? And if we as a people group need to go through this to purify us, then so be it.
Amen.
All right? We've got to have that mindset. Because if we don't have that mindset, we will be defeated.
Right.
Right? And we've already read that we're more than conquerors through Christ who loves
Amen.
Us.
Amen.
We're more than conquerors. Regardless of what happens right now, we have already got the victory. If you are loved in Christ Jesus, if you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, if your faith is in the kingdom and not on this world, you are already a victor.
Amen?
Amen? Mm-hmm. Will it get rough? Absolutely it will get rough. What if you run out of clothes? Will that separate you from the love of God?
Mm-hmm.
No. How about peril? Will that separate you from the love of God? No.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? They're still worshiping God in the Soviet Union.
Yeah.
They're worshiping God in China. They're worshiping God in the Middle East. There is great works of the Holy Spirit happening all over this world because of the persecution that came to them. Hey, praise God. You're right, Alan. Praise God. This is good news. I heard it this morning. America is fat. And I'm not talking about overweight, although that may be true. We are spiritually fat. The blessings of God have separated us from the righteousness of God. In the church, the world's going to do what the world's going to do. You can't stop it. Spurgeon said it this way. The birds fly in the air, but you don't have to let them make a nest in your hair. Right? That's the truth. The world's going to do what the world's going to do, and that's the world's thing. You are the church.
Amen.
The church has not done what the church is supposed to do for 100 years.
Right?
We stopped worshiping. We stop desiring holiness. Okay? It's not the world's fault. It's my fault. I got fat and lazy because of the blessings of God. My parents, fat and lazy because of the blessings of God. Their parents, fat and lazy because of the blessings of God. Israel, fat and lazy because of the blessings of God. And God said, all right, this far and no further. We as a nation have come to that spot this far and no further.
Yes.
And it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. Because I know no matter what happens, God is absolutely in control.
Amen. Praise Him.
Jeremiah 25 and verse 8 reads this way. Because ye have not heard my words. He's God speaking through Jeremiah to the people of Israel. Because you have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take you all the families. Take all the families from the earth, families from the north, saith the Lord. And Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. Biden, the king of socialists. All right, you can put it that way. I'm going to Americanize this. All right. Harris, the king of socialists. Democrats, king of socialists. Republicans, the king of socialists. All right. The king of Babylon is coming.
Yeah.
A new rule is coming to the land of America. Because the Americans, the church, because ye have not heard the words of God.
Mm-hmm.
We ain't got nobody to blame. This is not their fault. This is the church's fault.
Mm-hmm.
We knew better. We knew to be holy. We knew to be righteous. And we chose the fat of this world.
Amen.
Right? Well, with my soul, because God's in control.
Amen.
All right? And he said, the families of the north, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and he calls him his servant. Americans, Church of America, understand this. What is happening to our Constitution and our Bill of Rights? The servant of God, Nebuchadnezzar, right? God's allowing this to happen.
Yeah.
God is allowing this. We cannot fight against the one true God. And if this is the judgment of God because we have become the seed of Satan in America, so be it.
That's right.
So be it. Let us be prepared to go into the bondage with our shield of faith.
Amen.
With the belt of truth. With our feet shod with the gospel of peace.
Amen.
We walk. We walk together in the holiness of God, in the righteousness of God, regardless of what the world says. Because I have a kingdom, I don't have to worry about the Constitution of the United States. I have a kingdom set. I'm already set in the heavenly realms, And nothing that this world can do can separate me from that.
No.
It's the love of God.
Amen.
The world cannot separate me from it. Church, we need to understand this. This year, you need to get ready.
Amen.
Because it's not going to be the land of plenty here in a couple of years. It's not going to be the same. It is well with my soul.
Amen.
All right? It's well with my soul. So anyhow, as he keeps saying, my servant, he's talking about Babylon, I will bring them against the land and against the inhabitants thereof and against all these nations round about, and I will utterly destroy them. Okay, talking about Israel. I will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and a hissing and a perpetual dissolution. Desolation. All right? So here, Jeremiah talking to the people of God. I'm sending in the folk, I'm going to send in the principal, and he's going to tan your hide. It's about ready to cloud up and rain all over you. That's what my mama used to tell me before she came and beat the life out of me. Beat the evil out of me. You know, actually, the blows that strike the flesh cleanse away evil. I had a lot of evil. But mama knew how to take care of it. Right? So anyhow, you look at that, and he says, listen, I'm about ready to do this and utterly destroy the evil that's in you. And I will make you an astonishment and a hissing and a perpetual, that means ongoing, desolation. Verse 10. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of myrrh. Now, I always thought that mirth was a bad thing, is whining and crying, but it's not. From the Hebrew Strong's Concordance says in number 8342, is cheerfulness and rejoicing. God says, I'm going to take the voice of rejoicing away from you. You ain't going to be so happy anymore, America. It's not going to be what it was because you sinned against me. We moved away from the statutes and the commandments of God. All right? We did that. The world never had them. The church did it. We started preaching another gospel, which is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. We started preaching, God is love. It's all love. God will never judge you for your sin. Don't worry about it. Just do what you want. Go ahead. Fluff or nutter. Amen. Unicorns and rainbows. Right? We started teaching that in the church. And because for 100 years, 100 years, we've been steadily moving away and away and away from the righteousness of God. God said, this far and no further.
Right.
This far and no further. I'm going to take away cheerfulness and rejoicing out of your, and the voice of gladness and the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride. That's the freedom of speech and happiness. Will not be heard anymore in the land. There's coming hard times. There's coming hard times, people. Get ready for it. Prepare now for the hard times to come. We have been in bondage for a long time, but we're going to be in real persecution.
Yeah.
The church in America soon. Be ready. Be prepared. Do what you can to love your neighbor. It's time to start coming together as a body of believers, not being separated.
Amen.
It's time to come together and to love one another the way that Jesus told us to love. It's time to come together and bring what you have into the storehouses that there may be food in my house in the day of destruction.
Amen.
Right? We need to have that. We need to be moving in that direction. All right? So the sound of the millstone, that's working, commerce. America used to make things. All right, NAFTA fixed all that. We gave all of our manufacturing jobs away to a nation that hates us.
Yeah.
It's all part. And God was telling us back then. He was telling us back when Clinton was in power. He's been telling us for 100 years. Come back to me. He's allowed things to wax worse and worse and worse and worse, and trying to get America back. But the church continually hardened their heart to the word of God. So listen, I don't need that. I'm blessed. I got 2 cars in my garage, man. I got riding lawnmowers. I got more money than I know what to do with. Look, I am living the best of my life right now. That's what they said just before they were thrown into hell.
Right.
Folks, we need to be aware that these times are at our hand. The sound of the millstone, that's the freedom of commerce. The light of the candle will no longer be heard or seen. That's the freedom of comfort and warmth. Verse 11 says, "And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and the nations shall serve the king of Babylon," socialism. This, America, was the last stronghold of freedom. In church, we blew it. Okay? We blew it. And like any good child, when you do something wrong, and your daddy comes and says, "You did something wrong, son, yeah, I got to punish you." He's not doing it to kill you. He's doing it to fix the problem.
Amen. Right.
No chastisement seems pleasant at the moment. But the end thereof will bring life. We need to be prepared to go into this time with an openness. America was given a lot from its foundation, from when the Pilgrims first stepped off the boat, when they first made that that Mayflower Compact, and they said, "I am leaving Europe, I'm leaving that area of the world that I can find a land where I can worship God with the fullness of my heart." That's what they came to do, and they founded a land, or they found a land where there was freedom, where there was liberty, where they could worship Jesus Christ and not the Church of England. And we set up this nation with certain principles that were founded in the Word of God. Well, we have fallen away from that.
Right.
There was a time in America when we were sending out missionaries all over the world, bringing the truth of God's love, His grace, His mercy to all the corners of the deepest parts of the Amazon, right? We were the nation that was doing that. And then we got fat and lazy. Got very comfortable. "I'm not going to send anybody. You know what I'll send is my money." Right? God doesn't need your money.
Amen.
He needs your body. He needs your soul. He needs your heart. He needs you. Instead of going, we started sending. And don't get me wrong, God bless that too, but it wasn't like it used to be.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Jesus said in Luke, and He also said in Matthew, "For unto whomsoever much is given, of him much shall be required. And to whom men have committed much, given much, of him they will ask much more." We've been asked to do some things. We've been asked to walk with God. We've been given God has given this nation things that He's given no other nation. We have been the richest, wealthiest, most comfortable nation on the world. The poorest person in America is richer than 95% of the world.
That's right.
You know that? I don't know when's the last time you went to a foreign mission field. A couple years ago, I went to Kenya. And you know, the majority of the people there are still living in grass huts with no electricity. And you know what? They worship God.
Praise.
They worship God. It's Sunday morning. We got as many empty chairs as we got full chairs. Why? Because I can zoom it. Well, they can't zoom this because I don't zoom. You know? We've gotten into this lazy, I think they call it lackadaisical. Lazy, worthless, tasteless, lifeless belief system. And God said, "Listen, it's about ready to cloud up and rain all over you." Like when in Pharaoh's time, they were worshiping all the things, the gods of the world, flies, fleas, frogs, the lake or the river, right? God came against all of those and He crushed them. What's America worship? They call it the Almighty, starts with D, dollar, Almighty dollar. Listen, our economy is about ready to crash. Everything you think you saved up on your 401ks, might as well use it for striking paper. It's not going to be worth much anymore. Socialism is taking over, and it's well with my soul. If this is what it takes to bring the people of God back to God, Praise God.
That's right. Right? Amen.
If Nebuchadnezzar needs to come in with hooks and drive it through our jaws and bring us into bondage, praise God. It's okay. It's well with my soul. And because I know God, right? I know God. And it really doesn't bother me about all. Does it bother you? If it bothers you, then you need to stop loving the world. It tells us in 1 John that if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. Okay? Stop loving the world. Stop loving this world system. It's garbage. When you have a table prepared for you in the face of your enemies in the heavenly realms, you got a spot at the king's table, and you're worried about this garbage here on this earth? Stop eating out of the trash bin. You're a child of the king.
Amen.
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 We need to get this. Our nation, we used to be under God. We used to be indivisible. And all I see now in America is division.
Right.
All I see now in the church is division.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's not supposed to be that way. God didn't make the church to be divided. We're supposed to be united. One baptism, one God, one Father, one hope. And we're hope the church has lost its ground, has lost what we were supposed to be. We have turned away. We left His statutes, His commandments. God sent the gospel to all the nations through America, right? Do you know when the very first school, public schoolhouse, was made in America? 1635. And from 1635 to 1962, and all of the schoolhouses, you were able to worship God until 1962. Mm-hmm. That's 327 years. Mm-hmm. 327 years in America in the schoolhouses. We had men's group just the other night, and I was saying that when I went to school, there was a blackboard, so that lets you know how long ago that was. And above that, there was a Seth Thomas clock, right? Told you what time it was. There was a speaker on the wall. And above that, there was the alphabets and the numbers. It went 1 through 0. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 0. I don't know why they didn't put 10 there. It was just 0. Confused me until I quit school. So I thought 0 went first, but now 0 is anyhow. And after that, there was these images of a monkey. Then a monkey kind of standing upright. Then a monkey completely standing upright. And then a monkey or a human walking with a briefcase. Right? Yeah. It used to be Homo sapiens. Now they're just all homos. Sorry. I'm sorry. That was wrong of me. That's my flesh.
Well,
please forgive me.
Praise the Lord anyway.
The problem is we left the righteousness of God. We left the statutes of God. The Word of God says that we were fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God, not in the image of an ape. You are not a mistake. But since 1962 until 2001, which is 59 years, you have been taught that you are a mistake. You weren't meant to be. You were just some weird thing that fell off a star and landed into an acidic pool a million, billion, trillion years ago. And then it decided to change and turn into a one-celled organism in a million, billion years. It was a fish a million, billion years. It was a monkey a million, billion years. It was you. Garbage!
Amen, brother.
And the church is eating it like it's truth.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, there's more than one gender. There's two genders. That's it. Male and female.
Amen.
It does not matter how you feel.
Right.
All right, I feel like I'm a woman. All right, now I'm going to say that I don't. I feel very badly. I feel like I'm a woman. You can believe that. So if you get an automobile accident and you crash and your body is burned beyond recognition and they have to take a DNA sample, they're going to find that you are the gender that you were born under, regardless of what the surgeons did and regardless of how you felt. It will either be male or female.
Mm-hmm.
End of story.
Right.
And if you're confused about that today when you take a shower, look down. It should be pretty easy to figure out. And I know a lot of people, especially in the church, don't believe that anymore. They believe that there's 50,000 genders. I heard one college kid said that genderism is infinity, infinity and beyond. It is not. The Bible says He created male and female. End of story.
Amen.
And see, when the church starts denying that, the church is denying that. Yeah, the judgment of God's going to fall. When the church says it's just a blob of tissue, just a bunch of cells gathered together, you got the right to destroy it? When the church says that, and the church says that, the judgment of God's going to fall. See, the church has left its abode.
Amen.
Just like the angels left their abode and they just came and started messing with the daughters of men because they were beautiful. Listen, the church has left its abode of holiness, of righteousness, of set apart, of sanctity. And we've been swimming with the swine. The hand of God is going to fall. So we, the church, over the last hundreds of years, have stopped teaching that holiness matters to God.
Not all of us.
Amen. Not all of us. The real church hasn't. The real church hasn't. But there is another group of believers that call themselves the church.
Yeah.
You know, that is not the church. There are some who call themselves Hebrew. They're not really Hebrew. There are some who call themselves... You can say that you're born again, but unless you're following the statutes and the commandments of God, I seriously doubt it. God says simple things. In 6 days I created all things, on the seventh day I rested. Mm-hmm. So that scratches millions and billions of trillions of years to get it right, wrong. Right? Mm-hmm. Right, wrong, right? It scratches that off.
Yeah.
6 literal days everything was made that needed to be made. You know, we have not made one new thing since the creation stopped. Everything that we made is right here on this planet. We didn't invent nothing. It was all here. We may have added this one to that one and something weird came out.
Amen.
Oh, is that Dolly, the clone sheep? You know, AI, artificial intelligence. Real intelligence tells you that there's only two genders.
Right.
Real intelligence tells you that there's God way and no other way. All other intelligence is artificial, man-made intelligence. Mm-hmm. I got news for you. Man-made intelligence is stupid.
Amen.
Right? I can't think of a more ignorant word to use. Anyhow, the false prophets come in and they start changing it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I have Hosea written down in my notes here, Hosea chapter 8, 13 and 14. I'm going to flip back over there because I did not write down what it says. So anytime that I have a note put in late, I just kind of write it on the side there. Hosea chapter 8, verses 13 and 14. Let's see what it says because I don't have it in my mind. Well, I think we ought to start in verse 8. I've written to them the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. Talking to the people of Israel, talking to us. God wrote the things of His law, but we count it as a strange thing. They sacrifice flesh for sacrifices of my offerings and eat it, but the Lord accepteth them not. Now will He remember their iniquity and visit their sins. They shall return to Egypt, a type of sin. For Israel hath forgotten his Maker, and buildeth temples in Judah, and hath multiplied fences and cities, but I will send a fire upon his cities, and it shall be devoured the palaces thereof. What happened here to Israel? We forgot. The things of his law, we counted it as a strange thing. We stopped following the statutes, the commandments of God. We stopped honoring God as the God of the Bible and started making God in our image.
Amen.
I don't need a God that looks like me or thinks like me or has my ideas. I need a God whose thoughts are higher than my thoughts. His ways are incomprehensible to me. I need a God that I must live by faith to follow Him and not by sight. America, we've changed the righteousness, the holiness, the goodness of God and turned it into something much less than what it really is.
People are taking the sacrifices and turned them into rituals.
Took in the sacrifices of God and turned it into rituals. Mm-hmm. That's what George just said. Did you hear that? That's the Spirit of God speaking through somebody.
Amen.
We have taken the sacrifices, the holiness, the righteousness of God and turned it into ritual. Baptism, we've turned it into a ritual.
Right.
Let's all get wet. Getting wet does not bring you into a right relationship with God. Let's all take the bread and the juice because it tastes good. And you forget that it's representing Jesus Christ's death, His blood, His resurrection until He returns. Too many people take it as a ritual. And then there's the false prophets of our day, like Hanan. All right, and Jeremiah chapter 28, verses 15 through 17. And this is where the sermon's going to start. All that other stuff is just stuff that was on my mind this morning, but this is what God has been working on me all week long. Because there's so many false prophets out there leading the people of God astray.
Amen.
All right? There's so many people out there saying, "Thus saith the Lord," and they haven't heard from God. They haven't read their Bible. They have their prophets, so many people that call themselves churches, call themselves the people of Christ, are believing the prophet above the Word of God.
Amen.
Hanan was this type. I may be mispronouncing his name. It's H-H Hananiah. Thank you. Yes.
My brother's name is Hayden.
Uh-huh.
I call him Hanan. So I was wondering, how did I not know of the...
Yeah.
Yes, Hananiah.
Hananiah. Praise God. See, you know I have a sixth grade education. I can't be good. All right? That's all right.
Bless you, brother.
There you go.
You're all right.
And in verse 15, then said the prophet Jeremiah to Hananiah the prophet, "Hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee, but thou makest this people to trust a lie." The false prophets, in our day, this is what they've done. They have caused the people of God to trust a lie, saying that Nebuchadnezzar's not going to come in. He was actually saying, in 2 years, Hananiah said, in 2 years, God's going to take the yoke of Babylon, He's going to take the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, and He's going to break it. But God said, for 70 years you're going in because you did this great sin. You didn't allow the land to rust for its time, and so you're going to have to be in bondage for 70 years. That's what God said. But the false prophet said, don't worry about what God says. Don't worry about what the Bible says. Don't worry about when God says, when you leave my statutes and my commandments, I'm going to remove you from the land. Don't worry about that, because me, the great prophet, blah, blah, blah. Me, the great prophet Sid Roth.
Yeah.
Me, the great prophet Murillo.
Mario Morello,
right? Me, the great prophet Paula White.
Yeah.
Okay, me, the great prophet Bachman, Michelle Bachman. Those are the ones that have been leading the people of God to hell. And if you have been following those folks, stop it.
Amen.
You have a written word of God. You don't need the false prophets. You don't need me. You need God. You need His word. God said, when a people group leave my statutes and my commandments, I will remove them. Did He give us a chance to repent? Amen.
Yeah.
He did. Over and over and over and over again, He sent His word, He sent His love. 9/11, I believe, was the love of God trying to get the people's attention.
Amen.
I believe that Trump, when Trump took office, he was trying to get the people's attention.
Amen.
God was trying to get us to waken up and to come back to the holiness of God. Not that Trump was a godly man. That's not what I'm saying. I don't know about him. But I know what he was doing was trying to bring a people group back to the understanding that there is one God.
Amen.
And he's the ruler of this nation.
Amen. He was an instrument of God.
And we did not listen. We kept eating the fat of the land and not the meat of the word. And God said, all right, I'll tell you what. I'm going to take him out of the way.
Yep.
You want unrighteousness? You want socialism? Biden's your man.
And praise the messenger, not the...
Thank you, brother. Thank you for that. Too many Christians were praising the messenger and not the message.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Praise God, we had 4 years of Trump and he was trying to make America again. But we, the church, do you know how many Christians voted for socialism? Some folks that I know, and they go to sound Bible preaching places, and they believe socialism, Biden, Harris, communism, over capitalism, over the Constitution. God said, all right, you want it that way? You can have it. I have supplied you manna in the wilderness.
Amen. Amen.
You didn't want it. You wanted meat? Mm-hmm. All right, I'll send you meat. I'm going to send you quail. I'm going to send you so much meat, you're going to eat it and it's going to come out of your nose. Going to make you sick. We've allowed communism to be taught in our schools from 1950. Till now. We've raised up a generation that knows not God.
That's right.
Alright? And it's nobody's fault but the church. Really, have we been involved in anything? The school curriculum? When was the last time somebody born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, went to what is the school board? And when they brought up this transgenderism in school. How many churches went there and said, not on my watch?
Pete Lutz tried. I'm sure not about the homosexuality, but about the ape becoming a man.
Mm-hmm.
He tried to speak on it and they wouldn't hear it.
Yeah. That's because he tried alone.
Yeah.
He tried alone.
Yeah.
It's not, I mean, we're going into this because we allowed communism to be taught. And the greatness of God, of this nation not to be taught in America.
That's right.
I heard some woman preacher, I don't know who she was, and I really don't care, anathema. She prayed a prayer and thanked God for blessing this nation, that it was a gift from God, and then immediately retracted her words and said that this nation was never a gift from God. And she's a pastor of a huge church. Well, first of all, ladies, you ain't to be pastors. Let's start with that.
Amen.
Point blank.
Amen.
All right? I ain't saying that women don't have a right to teach. They can teach. But standing in the pulpit, they have no right to do it. Might make some folks mad. I'm not here to make you happy. I'm tired of making people happy. I want to make people righteous. The Bible says that. All right, so I don't give a. Yeah. What you think if it doesn't line up with God's word? See, the problem in America, problem in the church, is we started giving into what people think and not what God's word says. Started being ruled by emotions.
Right, right.
God doesn't care how you feel. Your feelings does not change the righteousness of God.
Amen.
God says it's this way and it's that way.
Amen.
And whether you believe it or not, does not change Him.
Right. He doesn't ask if it's convenient.
Amen. He doesn't ask if it's convenient what the sister said here. He doesn't ask. When He created things, He didn't ask Adam, hey, how about doing this or doing that? Hey, Adam, I'm God. I really am confused here. Let me ask you. I don't know what gender you are. Make up your own. What, I can't even name some of those things. Praise God. Anyhow, all these things, these false prophets were saying, they were rebelling against the word of God, the righteousness of God. And God said, this year I'm going to kill you. This year, God exposed a lot of false prophets.
Amen. Yeah.
The problem is those who are following them are still following them. Right? It's stupid. It's not amazing. It's stupid. How ignorant are people? The Word of God says if a prophet says something and it doesn't happen, they were supposed to be taken outside of town and stoned. I'm not advocating stoning people. But one thing, hey, how about just stop listening to them?
Yeah, amen.
If you stop feeding it, it will die.
Yeah.
If you start following God's word and not the stinking prophet,
amen.
It will die. It'll go out. Mm-hmm. 29. Jeremiah, God says this, verse 11. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Woohoo! How many times have you heard that as wealth and prosperity? Remember what was about ready to happen? Nebuchadnezzar's coming down. He's going to put hooks in your jaws and he's going to drag you to Babylon. He's going to burn your towns. He's going to make it a desolation. He's going to make it where even a donkey won't walk through it. It's going to be such a mess. But God says, I know my thoughts for you. I know what to do. I know how to make you right. So often we've heard that scripture taken so far out of context.
Yes.
We've heard it and we said, oh, what a blessing of God. He knows. It is a blessing of God. But remember, they were going for 70 years into bondage. They were going to be slaves for 70 years. So if you were 20 when you went in, you weren't coming out alive. If you were, you're going to be an old man. Right? See, we got it all messed up. God's going to bless me. We're going into socialism. Yeah, he's going to bless you if you repent. You know what he says through that in verses 4 through 7? All right? He says, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captive. Now, all right. Unto how many that are carried away captive?
All
of them. Every one of you slimy folks that are backslidden, every one of you that have changed the statutes and the commandments of my word, every one of you who have trusted the world and not the word, all of you guys going into captivity? All of them.
Amen.
All of them. Saith the Lord, unto all that are carried away captive, whom I have caused. Oh, there's that word again. I have caused this. I caused it. God said, I caused it. I caused you to be carried away from Jerusalem, the land of promise. I caused you to be called away from Judea, the land of promise. I caused you to be taken out of the wealth, out of the houses you haven't built, out of the gardens you didn't plant, out of all the blessings that I gave you, and I'm causing you to be taken out because you forgot my statutes. You forgot my commandments. You didn't follow me. You didn't live holy. You didn't obey my commands. And so now I'm taking you out.
Amen.
Into Babylon. America. Look at what he gave us. Look at what you have. God says, I'm taking it. You choose to worship the creation rather than the creator. You want that? To hell with you. You're going into bondage.
Amen.
And a lot of good people went into bondage. We know the three Hebrew boys. I was trying to remember their Hebrew names. That's their names from Babylon, but they actually had Hebrew names.
Yeah.
So those were the ones I was trying to think of. Azariah, Shariah, and Mishael. Right? And David. Daniel. Wrong the guy. And Daniel, right? We know that there are at least three, four that were holy and godly people that said, I'm not even, when I get there, I'm not going to pollute myself. Right? We, as People of Christ right now, when we get into this bondage, do not pollute yourself.
Amen.
It's time for us to purify ourselves.
Amen.
It's time for us to put on a fast. It's time to put on Jesus Christ. Amen? And start walking holy. Whom I have called to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Verse 5. Build ye houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat the fruit in them. All right, so what he's saying here, when this socialism really takes hold, all right, people, it's going to take hold. Get that in your mind right now. It's going to take hold. Plant gardens. Build a house. Live. Live peacefully as much as you can with everybody around you.
Amen.
All right? There are Christians, like I said, in Russia that are living peacefully in Soviet Union. There are people in China living peacefully with their communist neighbors. There are people in the Middle East that are Christian, that are living peacefully. They're planting gardens, right? They're eating the fruit thereof. Church, what's going to happen is going to happen. Suck it up, buttercup. All right? Be prepared.
Amen.
It's okay. Y'all remember Victory Gardens? Well, most of you don't remember it, but have you read about it? Gardens in buckets on rooftops. Plant something. I pray that you plant righteousness and the Word of God in your heart. But along with that, plant a garden.
Amen.
Because there's going to be food lines in America. Ask Venezuela. There's going to be times of hardship in America. There's going to be times that you don't have electricity right here. There's going to be times that if you don't have canned food, you won't have food. We have a year. I'm thinking maybe this year before things really, really take a time to turn. You need to learn how to can something. Who here knows how to can meat? Amen? Yeah, right? You've got to learn how to do that. Because you may not have refrigeration next year. You might have rolling blackouts. Oh, Biden is already cutting the ability to make electricity. Wind power ain't going to do it. You live in Rochester. The sun only shines 100 days a year. Maybe. You know? If you're lucky, if it's a sunny day. Those things, this new world manure, isn't going to work. So we need to be ready. We need to plant gardens. We need to eat the fruit thereof. In other words, live life. Regardless of your circumstances, right?
Amen.
Because God knows this. He means it for your good, not for your evil.
Yes,
okay?
Sir.
Remember that. He says, take wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased during that time. Even during the 70 years that Israel was going, live life, get married, love, live the way that God wants you to live, be holy, and there'll be an increase.
Amen.
Amen? I don't need the Constitution of the United States to make me holy. I don't need the Constitution of the United States or the Bill of Rights to make me just before God. I need to live a life that is separated from this world.
Amen.
In the world, but not of the world.
Amen.
Right? We need to love ridiculously in the next few years.
Yes.
Plant gardens. You know why? Your neighbor who is an atheist is going to be hungry. They're going to need what you have in your pantry. They're going to need the meat that you killed and you put in the can and you can. They're going to need that to eat. You think that's all for you? It's not. Plant more than what you're going to receive. Plant more than what you can use. And then what you have, you give it to the hungry. You give it to the poor. You give the extra clothing that you have to the naked. You meet the need of the people. And guess what? You will have riches in heaven. The Bible says so.
Amen.
You can't outgive him. But listen, America has not lived through this. Yeah, there was the Depression. Who here remembers the Depression? Probably just one or two. You do. I remember. Yeah. We've heard things like that, but this generation hasn't experienced that. When was the last time that you went to your bread cabinet and didn't have bread? I used to cut the mold off of my bread to have sandwiches. Right? We was poor. We put the P in poor. That's white privilege garbage. I'm Caucasian. There was no privilege. The only thing we had plenty of is Jack Daniels. We had a bunch of Jack Daniels. You know, no matter how low the beans got, we had Jack Daniels. And so God still raised up a picture for that, right? He says in verse 7, seek the peace of the city, whether I have caused you to be carried away captive. Pray unto the Lord for it. Ah, wow. Pray for the Stalin, O'Biden, and Harris, Pelosi, Schumer, Cuomo. Pray for those folks. Ah, I know you don't want to. I sure don't want to. God says that's what we got to do. We're going into bondage. There is no way out of it. We have sinned against God. We turned away from His commandments and His statutes. We did that. The church did that. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a remnant. Amen. Daniel, the three boys, but they went into bondage with all the rest of us. I'm sure that there was more people that were seeking the Lord, living by faith in Jerusalem and in Judea in those days. But they all went into bondage. They all did. And the ones who didn't go into bondage and stayed in the land stopped producing for them. God made it like a desert. He said, I'm going to give the land rest. People, we need to be prepared for that. Look back up in verse 11 again. With all these things being said, I know the thoughts. God says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace. Not of evil, to give you an expected end. Praise God! Praise God! We're going into bondage! Hi-ho, hi-ho, off to jail I go! It's okay! God said it's okay! Go in. It's not time for Johnny, go get your guns. I've heard this from so many people. I'm with you, brother. I don't do the internet or nothing like that. I'm not into that kind of garbage. Enough garbage in my life already. I don't need to put any more in there. But from what I have been hearing, the scuttlebutt from the constitutionalist, brother, go get your gun because they're going to come take your guns. Be prepared to fight to the death. No. Church? You better not. You better not. You live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. Amen. Amen. And either way, you're going to die. I mean, so if you get a bullet to the brain, it is what it is. But God said, listen, you can fight against Nebuchadnezzar, and a lot of people tried. They died. Most of them very brutal and violent deaths. We're the church. We're supposed to represent Jesus Christ here on this earth. We're supposed to love people in the midst of the conflict. There will be some that say, I'm going to cling to my guns until I die. Okay? I'm sure you will. Okay. That's up to you. That's between you and God. Me, I'm not going to. Now they come, somebody comes here and tries to hurt this church, I am armed and I will defend you. But if they come to my house and they knock on my door and say, you've got to surrender your gun, I'm going to surrender my gun. I know that bothers a lot of folks because they're so fiercely independent about the First and Second Amendment. Well, they've already taken the First Amendment away. And they're about ready to take your Second Amendment away. And you can fight to the death to keep it, or you can go into bondage. Plant gardens. Give and marry. Pray for the folks who put you into bondage. You can continue to be a Christian, or you can continue to be a corpse Yours is going to be yours. You know, dead folks can't witness. I saw him. He was one of them crazy Christians. He came out with his gun. He stood on the front porch. He shot 7 cops. What did that just do to the church? What did that just do to the name of Jesus Christ? Crazy Christian.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow.
Amen. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow.
Amen.
Amen. They shall call upon me, and they shall go and pray. And this is still in Jeremiah. Then shall ye call upon me in bondage. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray. This is verse 12. Unto me, and I will hearken unto you. When you're in bondage, you'll go and you'll pray to the Lord. You seek Him, you'll find Him.
Amen.
You'll go, and you shall seek me, and you shall find me, and then you shall search for me with all your heart. Oh, church, what would happen if we really sought for God with all of our heart? If we did this 50 years ago, we probably wouldn't be in the mess we're in today. But we are in the mess that we're in today. He says, go into bondage. Buy houses, plant gardens, give and take in marriage, live life, and search for me with all of your heart. Verse 14, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, saith the Lord. I will bring you again to the place where I have caused you to be carried away captive. This ain't the end. For Israel, it was the land. For the church, guess where it's going to be? Heaven. All right? For the church, this is the end time scenario. I mean, that was for Israel in its day. All right? Now, for the church in our day, if really and truly this is the end time scenario, you know how the furthest as you can go, you know how far that is? 7 years. And then after that, the millennial reign of Jesus, right, for 1,000 years. So 7 years of hard times, 1,000 years of woohoo, no war, no worse, no worry about anything, because God, you are working right along beside Him for 1,000 years. Ain't that good?
Amen.
I mean, really, what a retirement program. You lay in the hard work for 7 years, and you've got 1,000 years of rest. Well, 1,000 years of work. All right, but it's really good work.
And again, that hard time is so hard, you said, if it wasn't shortened, there wouldn't even be a single bit of flesh saved.
Amen. You're right. Yeah, I'm not saying it's easy. When Nebuchadnezzar came in, it wasn't easy. When Rome came in and took Jerusalem, it wasn't easy. But God brought them back. Jesus said, I go to prepare you a place, and if I go to prepare you a place, I will come again and bring you, call you to where I am.
Amen.
Do you believe that enough? I know a lot of folks, you're very much into the grab your gun, Sally, we're going to fight them on the hill. Okay. I can't change your mind on that.
The Bible says to stand.
There you go. The Bible says to stand. When you've done all you can, stand ye therefore.
Right.
He also said, I've told you before, when you had no script or purse,
going by your sword.
And he said nothing. He said, but now I'm telling you, if you don't have a sword, go and sell your clothes and buy one.
Yep.
And then they said, we got 2 swords here. He said, that's enough. Bring them with us.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he did want us to have a sword.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not saying don't have a gun. I have a gun. I got several. I got 2 on me. Okay? So yeah, I mean, I'm not saying you shouldn't have a gun, but I am saying that you shouldn't murder a police officer when he comes to take your gun.
No.
All right. I even have guns hid. I know that they're listening to me on the internet and all that kind of stuff. I'm big up a yard. It's not in my yard, by the way. This is the sword of the Spirit. This is not my sword. All right. Often when I use this, I use it as Curtis's battle axe. It's not what it's made for. This is the sword of the Spirit. Amen. And use it as the Spirit leads you.
Amen. Right.
I mean, I've always been a constitutionalist. I lead my life in the Constitution. But when the people of America stopped being holy.
Yes, right.
See, that Constitution is only set for people who can self-govern.
Amen.
And you self-govern when you have a principle of holiness, of righteousness. When we stepped away from that self-governing ability of knowing what is right and wrong through God's Word, then we became anarchists against God. I know this is a hard message for a lot of people. It's a hard message to prepare because it goes against every grain of my flesh. My father died in active service in 1972. My mom married three other different guys, all in the military. I am hardcore American, right? But when I understood that God said, when you do this, even as an American, when you leave my commandments, when you leave my statutes, this is what's going to happen to you. And I look back at what we have done in the last 59 years, what we have done. We deserve this. We've earned it. And I know that that goes against a lot of what you think. It goes against a lot of what I think. But when God's Word says it, that settles it. And I love you. I hope you come back next week. But I do understand if this upset you so much that you don't. These things are going to happen. Because God said, God does not change. He's the same yesterday, He's the same today, He'll be the same forever. He says, I've set certain things up, and if you do this, this will happen. There's cause and effect. Lots of cause. Oh man, I'm still talking. It's cause and effect. Cause and effect. Cause and effect. And the church moved away from the standard of God. The effect of that is exactly what we're about ready to undergo. You fight against it, you're fighting against God. I don't know. I read through the Bible when folks fought against God, it didn't turn out too good. But if you went underneath the chastisement of God, you can fall on the rock or you can have the rock fall on you.
Yes.
You can fall on the rock and you can be made whole again. But if that rock falls on you, you'll be ground to dust. That rock is the gospel. That rock is the word of God.
Amen.
And I'm not trying to make you understand one way or the other. God says, if you'll seek for me, you'll find me. And God promised that He would gather out His people from all the nations where He drives us. As God and His love is great, He chastens, though. Where's that? Hebrews 6. No, it was 12, 6, 6, 12. Hebrews 12, 6. Hebrews 7, 8, 9, 12, 6. Yeah, here it is. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and He scourgeth every son whom He receives. Oh. Wow. Does God love you if He chastens you?
Yeah.
He's only chastening us because we have moved away from what was right. He's only allowing this to happen because we moved away from the commandments and the love. We moved away from the holiness of God. We turned to another gospel which was not the gospel. I'm not saying everybody. I'm saying the nation. The party that is in charge of the Senate and the Congress and the White House right now, a couple years ago, said they did not want the name of Jesus in their convention. Mm-hmm. Openly, proudly, without mistake. Voted Him out in the convention. God says, that's what you want. That's what you get. So now, in the House, in the Senate, in the Congress, in the judicial system, in the Supreme Court, in the federal courts, in the town courts, in the county courts, in the county houses, in seat of Satan, Albany, all of those places, we have people that don't trust God, that don't want God in their life. And they have authority given to them by God. Because we, the people of God, turned away from the righteousness of God. We have sown to the wind. Now we need to reap the whirlwind. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be pretty. It's going to be glorious. Because the church, y'all want a revival? Who here wants a revival? You ain't going to get a revival unless we go in. And unless the church goes in, you're not going to be raised up. I tell you, folks are talking about re-education camps and stuff like that. Think about it. All of the real, true, born-again Christians all gathered up in, what's the mall in Henrietta? What's that name of it?
Marketplace.
We're all gathered together in Marketplace Mall. We all have our little cells there. And every Sunday and Wednesday and Monday and Tuesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, we gather together to worship God.
Amen.
What a great time! And you know what? The heathen will pay for it. Right? Amen? They're going to be buying you beans and rice and pasta, and you're going to be held away in this little Goshen. You're going to be held away in this spot. And they're going to try to re-educate you, but they can't take what the Holy Spirit's already given you. Right? All I can say is praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. And if I'm wrong and none of this is happening,
we'll be
praise God.
Praise God. No, what I would say right now is repent. If this ain't what it looks like, and this is just another shot over the bow that God's trying to get your attention, repent right now.
Amen.
Repent. Come back. Become an overcomer. Right? For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Romans 8 and 18. Amen? Okay, I've kept you long. I'm not going to apologize. Okay? I believe that's what the Lord wanted me to get through.
Amen.
I'm done with it. All right? I have nothing else to say on that subject. We'll talk about something different next week. Amen? Pray for me as the Lord lays something on my heart that I can feed you well. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you, Lord God, for your goodness, your righteousness. We thank you for the times that we are in. And Father, we hold on to the truths that you have given us. We hold on to the hem of your garment for the forgiveness of our sin. Father, we desire that revival. We desire the holiness of God in us, living in us, magnifying your grace through us. Oh, God, let it start today.
Amen.
Father, we love you. We praise you. We rest in your ability. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen.